laid out. Got my beauty rest there this afternoon after everybody left in the Lazy Boy recliner, passed out there for a little while. Felt a little bit revived. Amen. This text is familiar to us as well. Probably ought to preach on it once a year, whether I need it or not. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, and the Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times." That was his question. "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. And then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." How much forgiveness? You know, the topic of forgiveness most of the preaching that we hear on that has to do with God forgiving sinners or God forgiving us, and we kind of like that. Not much preaching on us forgiving others, and we don't like that one as much as we do there. You know, that's a forgiveness, a major tenet, if not only, I would start to say a major tenet, if not the major tenet of the Christian faith is forgiveness. Yet in the church, there seems to me as much hurt and unforgiveness and unlove and bitterness and anger and grudge bearing as anywhere else. The root of that problem, as usual, is pride, selfishness, or self-centeredness. Matthew 5:24, the Bible says, "Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." You know, a lot of times the problem is that usually somebody gets offended and they leave the altar or the church, and then they change geographic locations because somehow they got offended, and then they believe that then they're going to be able to worship God. But the problem's not a geographic problem, it's a heart problem. And I try to get that across to people. You know, they'll get mad. This has happened, you know, at probably every church that you could name on the face of the earth. Somebody get offended about something. They think, well, we're leaving, we're mad, we're going somewhere else, and we're going to be able to worship God at this church. No. Not according to that verse right there that I just read. You know, you haven't cleared things up with your brother. You know, you can't just move a geographic location. You still got a heart issue where you're carrying a burden or a grudge or an unforgiving or unloving spirit with you when you go. It still exists. And therefore, you're not in a spiritual condition to worship God. And so it's a heart problem. Now, the model prayer that Jesus gave us, he said, one of the things that we would say is, "Forgive us our debts." We like that. As we forgive our debtors, is, you know, we forgive others. We're asking the Lord to forgive us as we forgive others, and they, you know, they both they go together. And so we're heavy on the first part and light on the second. And so in our test, I just got three things that we want to look at tonight, help us along the way: what we are, what we should be, and what we can become, what we are, what we should be, and what we can become. The very first thing is what we are, and what we are is a debtor or debtors. We're debtors there. And you know, to give and receive forgiveness, number one, well, both actually, to receive forgiveness and even to offer forgiveness or give forgiveness requires an attitude of humility. Now, there's a danger with it. There's a danger with giving forgiveness or and having the attitude of forgiveness is, and that danger is, and this is one of the fears and why it's a stumbling block for people to do so, is there's the danger of being hurt again. There's always a danger of being hurt again, but God didn't put a stipulation in on that. He just, you know, he told us to forgive. And I mean, you know, everything is in relation to our forgiveness by God. I mean, you know, how many times, let me ask you this then. How many times have we asked God to forgive us of something or many things? And then how many times commit the same offense against God? You know, and you know, I, and I'm not, you know, and do we, somebody said, I think we were having Sunday school a few weeks ago when I was still teaching the class, and Jesse was saying, oh, you know, I didn't break God's heart. I think I mentioned that to you before, talking about us breaking God's heart. And Jesse said, oh, I haven't broken God's heart. And I was kind of kidded with Jesse. I said, yeah, Jesse, that Sunday you laid out to go to the gun show instead of coming to church, I knew he had done that. I said, that Sunday, you know, I said, that broke God's heart because you put that first. So when we sin against God, don't we break God's heart over and over and over again? And then Peter asked the question, how many times, you know, should I forgive somebody, you know? And so, you know, he's putting a number on it, and I'll get to that, you know, in just a second. So that's how that applied. And so, you know, Peter, you know, he made some mistakes in the whole process there. You know, he said this, he said, how many times, very first thing, he said, how often shall I, my brother, sin against me and I forgive him? And then he says, till seven times. You know, he kind of put a limit. Now he thought he was being pretty lenient there, because the rabbis taught that you should forgive somebody three times. Now, we're not talking three times a day. We're not talking seven times a day. We're talking, he's asking, should I forgive him seven times lifetime? Lifetime is what he's asking. Now, he said, but you know what? Here's the better question right there. Let me ask you this. And this is what the Lord could have said it this way, but he's smarter than I am. So I'm not claiming to be as smart as the Lord. But this is a good question. How many times do you want your brother to forgive you? Three times? Seven times? Or seven times 70 times? Huh? I mean, how many times? That's really what the question ought to be. So Peter was wrong there. How many times do you want your brother to forgive you? And Peter's evaluation was, notice how he always said, how many times should I forgive my brother that offends me? He was sure that his brother would offend him, but he wasn't talking about how many times he may offend his brother. You know, we're going to offend, and see, all that plays in there. Now, the second mistake that he made was he set limits, and he was trying to measure forgiveness. As I said, the rabbi said three times. Peter thought he was going to be super generous seven times, not a day, but in a lifetime. But here's the thing about it. Where there is love, there can be no limits or limitations or dimensions. The Bible says love covereth a multitude of sins. I don't know what your definition of a multitude is, but it's a lot. But what it means, love covers a multitude, it means it overlooks. It overlooks it, a multitude of sins. Love believes all things, hopes all things, bears all things. The Bible says love never fails. And so unforgiveness is really a love problem. It's a love problem. And we can't set a limit on you know, true love. We don't set a limit. The Lord said, well, he said, Peter said seven times. The Lord said seven times 70, 490 times. Now, who could keep track of that? I guess nowadays with cell phones, Stanley said he could, cell phones and tablets and that, 490 times. You couldn't keep track. That was the point. That was the point. Just think about this. By the time, let's say you did keep track of it, by the time you forgave somebody 490 times, guess what? You would be in the habit of forgiving. you would be in the habit of forgiving. That was the point. The point was the Lord knew you're not going to keep track of 400. And there's some people that may. The Lord knew you wouldn't keep 400 and track of it that long. That's what he's really saying. It's going to be a number that you really can't keep track of. Don't worry about keeping track of. Matter of fact, don't worry about it. See, because that's the whole thing. If you said, well, you know what, there was this one time I forgave you, and then I forgave you this other time, and you remember that time I did this, and then there was that other time you did that, you know, and that was a bad one. And you know what? If you're remembering all that, I got a feeling you're not forgiven. You're not forgiven because, and I'm not saying, you know, we say, well, forgive and forget, and forgetting's an impossibility. I'll show you in just a little bit. Forgetting's an, you're not going to forget, but forgiveness is a different deal. Huh? Forgiveness is a different deal. And if I got a feeling, though, if you can really, I remember that date. It was at 3 o'clock on this date, and, you know, it was cloudy out, and, you know, I got a feeling you haven't forgotten that, or you haven't forgiven that. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrong. In our text, it says that this man owed a king 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. How come he owed him 10,000 talents? Because he was a thief. And he stole it. He stole it. They say at 10,000 talents, equivalent of today's money, was $10 million. He owed the guy $10 million. Pretty good debt right there. You know, here's this guy. He's a servant, you know, kind of a lower class peasant. I mean, he wouldn't make this much money in 10 lifetimes. He's got $10 million. The king had a pretty good idea. He was stealing from him, right? Because he had all the way. So 10 million, and he says, and so what he did was he begged and he brought it for him and said, listen, you owe me this. It's $10 million you can't pay. We're going to lock up your family and we're going to sell them. We're going to sell your family and lock you up till you pay, which he had never been able to pay. He wouldn't have been able to pay it if he was out of jail, much less if he was in jail. He's not going to be able to pay it. He'll never make that much money in his lifetime. And he fell down. It said that he fell down and worshiped the king. And he had this debt. And here's the thing. And in his pride, he tells the king, don't do this, and I'll pay you it all. That was a lie. He had never paid. He would never be able to pay the debt. See, you know, the spiritual picture is here that we had a sin debt that we could not pay. You know, would never be able to pay the debt. That's why if you want to go to grace, you know, that we'd never be able to be good enough. We could never work our way into heaven. We could, you know, we couldn't pay for our own salvation. It was an impossible debt. That's what the whole thing is. It's an impossible debt. It's an impossible to, it would be impossible to remember 490 offenses from somebody. It would be impossible to pay the debt that he owed. You know, it's a picture of us, the debtor there. And he says, listen, I let me go and I'll just pay you. You know, he's telling a lie in his pride. Maybe he thought that he could pray. But let me ask you this. How many of you know that God has forgiven you a debt that you could never repay? Amen. You could never repay it. You were a thief, a liar, an adulterer, a criminal. Pretty harsh words. That's the truth, right? Bible says, you know, if you've taken anything in your life, right? What do we call people that take things? Huh? You thought I'm a thief, right? If you fudged on your taxes, you're a liar. If you looked at somebody the opposite sex with lust, the Bible says if you committed adultery in your mind, you know it's adultery. So you're an adulterer, right? So there it is. We don't sound too good right now. Now, let me ask you what did the man want? What did this man want? Did he want justice or did he want mercy? What did he deserve? Did he deserve forgiveness? You know, did he deserve, and you think about that. Now, you think about our situation in the face of God. What do we want from God? Do we want justice? Do we really want justice? No, we want mercy, right? See, nobody's going to stand before God and ask for justice. But you know, you ever notice how sometimes that's what we want from somebody else? Somebody, man, you've done offended me, you've hurt me, and I want justice, I want to get that. See, this is the guy, you know, we're looking like this guy right here. We want justice from somebody else, but we don't want justice from God. We want mercy. You know, what about, you know, when who needs forgiveness? Obviously, it's almost like we want to forgive somebody that hadn't really offended us in the first place. The only person that really needs forgiveness is somebody that has offended us. It can't be somebody that's taking care of everything. Otherwise, the offense would be taken care of. So the man, you know, those are the ones that need our forgiveness, is people that have offended us. We can't wait till they don't need it to give it, right? Let's be what we need. So we see that what we are is a debtor. Now, what we should be, second point, what we should be is a creditor. This servant left the presence of the king. He found a fellow servant who owed him 100 pence. Now, you can make 100 pence in less than a year in that economy. You can make it in less than a year. I think they said like 800 pence was like a year's salary or something like that. It was a small amount, certainly a small amount compared to his own debt to the king. And this debtor used the same approach that the other servant used. He said, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now, he could pay this debt. He paid this debt. But the unjust servant was unwilling to grant the other what he wanted himself, or what he wanted granted to him. That was that forgiveness. Now, see, the comparison is this. Listen, there is nobody on the face of the earth that has offended us like we have offended God. Amen. Right. We owe him the 10,000. Somebody might owe you the 100 pence. Huh? I'm not saying we didn't get offended. Somebody might, but that nobody owes you what you owe God. And God said, listen, I'm going to forgive you. And we're supposed to forgive the debt on the other. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And when you think about it, like I said, you know, what do you want from God? You know, do you want justice or mercy from God? Now, let me ask you this question right here, and I want you to think about it hard. Is your standard of forgiveness higher than God's? If you won't forgive, it is. If you won't forgive somebody, your standard of forgiveness is higher than God's. Huh? Yeah, that's it right there. God did forgive us a debt we couldn't pay. I covered that. Now, he had a legal right to throw the man into prison, but not the moral right. He had the legal right, but not the moral right. You know, sometimes people say, listen, there's a lot of times in situations in life, you know, somebody says something they shouldn't say, they get hot under the collar, they probably say something they shouldn't say, and you're going to end up with two guilty parties right there, right? You know, you got it, right? If you're around somebody, husbands and wives and church members and whatever, family members and that, pretty confident that I can say this, pretty confidently, you probably both offended each other somewhere along the way. Said something, hurt somebody's feelings, you know, whatever you did, you probably, you know, we've all probably done that, right? And so there's, you know, that always is taking place. And so, and you can say, well, you know, I they were wrong. And sometimes, listen, somebody's just wrong. They're just wrong. Okay. I'm with it. Sometimes you're wrong, right? Sometimes we're the one that's wrong, and sometimes somebody else is the one that's wrong. All right, and so what do you want people to do? To prove that they weren't wrong so that then you can forgive them? or you know, that's who you forgive. It's the wrong people. That's why, yeah, there is a debt that needs to be forgiven. Debt needs to be forgiven. There is a debt, sure. That's what it is. We struggle with that a lot. Now, he had the right, but he didn't have the moral right. He had the legal right. The man did owe him money, but he didn't have the moral right because he had been forgiven there. And then I want to get you to this point right here. Probably not a real long message, but this is good. What we are is debtors, and what we should be is creditors, and what we can become is prisoners. Well, we can become his prisoners. Now, the king originally, he spared the servant, this one servant that owed to 10,000 talents. He spared him the prison. He said, listen, I'm going to forgive you your debt. But when he ran out and he grabbed this other fellow that owed him just a small amount by the throat, and he said, listen, you got to pay me all, and he was really harsh with him. The other servants saw that. They saw what was going on, and they went back and they told the king, they said, you know that guy that you forgave all that debt? He ran out and got this other guy and really treated him badly and wouldn't forgive him the debt that he owed. And the king got hot about that. And he said, you know, and he went back and he got a hold of the guy, and you know, and he talked to him, and he said over on the other page, let me get to the verse. It says in verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told it unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Remember that debt that God forgave us. Because thou desirest me, you ask. And shouldest now thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And he said his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. You know what? He wasn't ever going to be able to pay. This was a lifetime sentence right here. And he said, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. And so, you know, he told him this. Listen, he originally spared him, but guess who put himself back into prison? That servant put himself back into prison right there. And that's the exact same thing. Listen, unforgiveness is a prison that you get around yourself, and you actually end up putting yourself in prison. Listen, if you always want to live by justice, that's really what the king is saying. Okay, he said, I'll tell you what. You want justice? You want to live by justice? I'm going to give you justice. In the prison you go. In the prison. He's in prison because of his unforgiving spirit himself. He ended up being the one that was locked up. The worst prison in the world is an unforgiving heart. And it said he turned him over to the tormentors, that we cause our own torment by unforgiveness. Now, what was wrong with this man? It's the same thing that is wrong with a lot of professing Christians today. They have received forgiveness, but have not experienced forgiveness in their heart, and therefore they are unable to share forgiveness with others. They haven't received it in their own heart. They don't understand that. And therefore, they're unable to share forgiveness with somebody else. Why is it such a struggle? You know, why is it such a struggle? I know that pride's at the bottom. You know, we're prideful people, and so pride doesn't want. It's like, you ever get the other day? Yeah, I had somebody riding along behind me down the interstate. And I used to live in Northern Virginia, man. So listen, I got all the tactics down. I know just exactly how close you got to be to the bumper of the car in front of you to keep that knucklehead beside you from getting in there. Right. And see, I like to teach people lessons. See, and if I'm driving down there and I got a guy behind me, and you can see for 20 miles up there, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing but a string of cars. I would like to drive at the proper distance so I don't smash the guy if he hits the brake. But, you know, you got that guy behind you. He gets right on your bumper and he's weaving over and looking and he's getting over there and there's nowhere to go. And then next thing you know, he busts out in the other lane. He's going to come around there and there's a tractor trailer coming and he's coming and I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'll show you how they do it in NASCAR. Boy, I can get that bumper right there, man. We rubbing paint. I got it up on her. You ain't getting in. You just get on back there where you belong, huh? I'm teaching you. You know, you get that attitude sometimes, don't you? You know what? I ain't. You going to learn right back there, huh? And then when he gets back there, you drift on back a little bit, you know. And how you do it? You're going to teach him. And when we got that bone in our head that says, listen, I'm going to teach somebody a lesson. They're wrong, and I'm going to show them they're wrong. You get like that sometimes? Don't you get like that? Somebody, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them about it. Huh? I'm going to tell them about it. They're wrong. I'm going to go down there and tell them. That's pride right there. That's pride. And so we got that I'm going to teach them a lesson attitude right there. And see, so if you think like if I forgive them too soon, I got to make them squirm a lot. I got to make them hurt, you know. I want to make them squirm because I don't want to forgive them too soon. Because you know what? I'm going to make them feel just like I feel. That's real compassionate, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it? That's what we think. Huh? I want to make them feel just like I want them to hurt just like I hurt so that they'll know. Huh? What if God said, listen, I'm going to make you hurt just like I hurt? Huh? What if God said that? We still wouldn't be forgiven, would we? It's a struggle. Now, like I said, sometimes people say, well, you know what? I don't have to go I don't have to go ask for forgiveness. I'm not the one that did wrong. They're the one. They're the one that needs to come to see me. Ain't that right? When Adam sinned, was Adam going looking for God or was God coming looking for Adam? Did God know that Adam had sinned? Did he say, well, he's offended me. I'm just going to stay up here. I'm not going down there looking for Adam. I'm going to wait till I hear him hollering out for me. Huh? Maybe I'll send a bad storm down there. Maybe I'll send a drought. Maybe I'll send a famine. Maybe I'll just torture him until he finally cries out to me because he deserves everything he's going to get. And then when he cries out to me, I'll just take my time and maybe I'll forgive him when that time comes. No, it was God that went down there looking for Adam. God was looking for him. He knew. But he's the one that came to Adam. See, listen, just because you think that somebody done you wrong, but and you know your relationship has gone south because of that, it doesn't mean you can't be the one to approach the other. Say, hey, you know, let's get matter settled here, get things straightened out. And that's exactly what God did. That was our and listen, I'm not saying, listen, there's some bad sins and there's terrible things there. Sometimes people say, you know what, I just can't forget what they did. I can't forget what they did. And there's some awful sins. There's things that happen out there, a lot worse maybe that's happened even to us. And that, you know, it has to be taken care of. But let me ask you this. Can God forget what our sin did to his son on the cross? No, he didn't forget it. He knew. He didn't forget it. But he forgave us. Huh? But he didn't forget. But he's not holding it over our head either. Like, you know what? You know, one more time and, you know. God didn't forget that. But he still forgave us. You know, sometimes we get specifically focused on one sin. I heard an illustration about a man. He is in a church, active church family, you know, proud, respectable folk in church. And his daughter, she got pregnant. She got in a family way, got pregnant. And man, this guy, he just couldn't forgive his daughter. He was really mad with her about that. And he was saying, well, you know, you've done ruined the family name and you've, just caused a lot of grief and what are people think? And, you know, and he was really mad and he wouldn't forgive her for that sin. But then somebody brought up, said, well, she wasn't sinless before this. How come you weren't angry about all them other sins? How come this sin's really grieving you? Now it's grieving him because of pride. This sin's really grieving you. Why didn't the other sins grieve you? Huh? Isn't that it? You know, and so see, in our case, like what happened, somebody offends us, and man, we can harp on their sin till we're blue in the face. We can say, well, boy, that was bad, it was the worst, and I'm just right, and we're all angry about it and everything. What about your sin? How come you're not mad at your own self? How long are you to get in the mirror and look in there and just smack your face all around because you sin? How come you don't do that? What about that? We don't do that. What about those other sins? We don't grieve over our... If we spend as much time grieving over our sins as we did the sins of somebody that offended us, we'd be in the place that God wanted us to be. Now I'll tell you another thing. Sometimes people are afraid to forgive. Listen here closely. They're afraid they will lose their alibi of blaming others for the way they are themselves now. You get it? It's sinking in here. They're afraid they will lose their alibi of blaming others for the way they are themselves right now. See, that's a crutch a lot of times. Oh, well, you know, this happened to me. How long ago did that happen? Like 40 years. You know, this happened to me, and the reason that I'm like the way I am now is because of Joe and whatever his name is or her name is. She, you know, they done me wrong, and they did it now. And if you forgive them, you ain't got that excuse no more. Huh? Yeah, the reason I'm a drunk and I'm just drinking my brains out is because, you know, that woman, you know, like Adam, that woman, you know, and I know women can drive you to drinking. I know that, but... I'm just saying. Yeah, that woman, you know, she did it, and it was like, you know, it was like 20 years ago. So the guy, he's a drunk the rest of his life, you know, sitting around. And that's his excuse, and if he forgives her, you don't have it. Huh? You don't have the alibi, that crutch anymore for your life that you're living. Huh? Your joy's all gone. Your self-esteem's all gone. You know, you're just down and moping around all the time. And sometimes it's an indirect way of getting sympathy for yourself because, you know, you can hold on to this problem that you got there, this unforgiveness. And so if you forgive, see, you don't have that excuse. And then here's another reason. Afraid they will lose control over somebody else's hurt. See, we like to have our foot on the neck. You know, you're in control. You know, I like to have that control. I'm gonna make you hurt. I'm gonna make you squirm. Uh-huh, I'll get you here and I'll get you there. And I'm the one that's in control. See, if I won't forgive you, I'm the one that's in control, but you don't realize you're the one getting ate up. You're the one that's getting eaten up spiritually and emotionally because you don't have control over, or you have that control over somebody else's life. If you forgive them, you don't have it any longer. So you've lost control. You know, do you ever desire to hurt somebody that has offended you so they will hurt like you? That's bitterness and unforgiveness are very closely related, and that's a little bit of bitterness right there. Now, listen here, I hear people say, well, I forgive them, but I don't have anything to do with them. I forgive them. You know, forgiveness it's in the heart, but it's not only in the heart. It's just like love. It has to be expressed. Forgiveness has to be expressed. I was listening to Ed Moore. If you go to the prayer advance, if Joel Wegner's not leading the singing, Ed Moore's the guy leading the singing. You know the guy with the white hair? He's a pastor. Listen to him preaching. And I talked to him this year and told him about a message he had, real powerful message he preached, touched my heart, and went in and talked to him about it. He was preaching about this, and he said, you know, what happened was when he said his youngest sister was taken at gunpoint. She was raped, she was killed, and she was left out in a field somewhere in the summertime, her body corrupted all up, and they didn't have much of a body to bury, and, you know, really about killed his father. His father was like a crippled man, crippled, and that was his baby daughter, baby girl. Really just broke his heart. But he said, we forgave him, we prayed for the man, we forgave the guy, but he said, one day, I was working on a message about forgiveness. I was doing something there, praying. And he said that God spoke to him, said, you know, you got to let that man know. And he said he like resisted. He said, well, you know, well, I've forgiven him. He said, yeah, but you got to express it. And he said, well, I said, but you know what? I just can't do that. If I do that, then I'm just going to be, you know, disrespecting my father's grave, who went to his grave grieving over his daughter. I mean, you know, if I just can't, you know, what about this? And what he said, God wouldn't let him go. And he said, finally, he said one day that he said he got out a paper and a pen, and he wrote the guy a letter. The guy was in the penitentiary, and he wrote him a letter and told him that, you know, expressed his forgiveness. And he said, man, it was like just a burden that came off his life. He had another guy, he brought a guy up there, a young fellow that had said that, you know, his father and mother, when he was young, they got divorced, and he said he really struggled with that bitterness. And what happened was his dad had an affair with somebody that was in the church. And he said, so, you know, it was a big family turmoil. But then, you know, years went by, and his mom and dad got remarried, and he thought that was great. But his dad had a problem with pornography, and then he molested his sister. His sister told him about it and said that he told his mom. His mom wouldn't believe it at first, but then they found out it was true. And anyway, they ended up getting divorced again, and then this guy ended up marrying the woman that he had an affair with, and they were all in the same church. Now, you can imagine this was a real night, and they were all in the same church. So this is his dad with this woman that he had an affair with and now he got married to, and then his mom was over there, and he said, man, he felt so bad for his mom. He said, I just felt so bad for her. And he goes, I didn't forgive my dad. He said, I had bitterness, and I didn't have anything to do with him, and I talked really bad, you know, just about him and that. And then he said that, you know, God, he said he wasn't, he got saved. I don't think he was saved, but he got saved, and God really dealt with him. And so finally one day, you know, God dealt with him about this, and he went to his dad, had a meeting with him, sat down, talked. And he told him that he forgave him and for what he'd done and forgave him for everything. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in his life. There's a lot. That's a lot of emotional stuff. Divorce, number one, you know, thing with his sister, and remarried and hurt for his sister, hurt for his mom. A lot there. A lot. You know, his debt was still smaller than the debt he owed God. But anyway, but he said he did, and he reconciled with his father and the lady that his father was married to. He, you know, was started being civil and dealing with her. But he said when he went to college, his dad's wife bought his books, bought all his books for him, you know. But he's the one that kind of broke the ice and went to them and asked for forgiveness. And so, you know, there's some things out there. There's, you know, was it easy? Probably not, you know, for either case. But it was what it was right, you know, it was right to do. And it was a hard thing for him to do. And, you know, I started thinking about this. You know, when we think about Jesus on the cross and there was two thieves on the cross on either side, we like that, don't we? We like that story. You know, there's the repentant thief, and he said, Lord, be merciful unto me, or, you know, forgive me, and remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. That's what he said. I'll get it straight to me. Remember me when thou come into thy kingdom, he said that. Man, we like that, don't we, that he got said. Well, let me ask you something. You know, there's a good chance that the thief, not only was he a thief, he might have been a murderer, he might have been a rapist as well. You don't know that. What if he had stole from you? How would you like the story now? You know, we're so happy for the thief now. We say, oh, yeah, the thief on the cross, man, he got saved. Boy, it's great. Just makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. What if he had raped you? What if he had raped your child, murdered your child? Would you be all that happy about the thief on the cross that got saved now? Or does that shed a different light on it? It's different, isn't it? Huh? You don't feel as good about it, do you? Now you got it thinking about, wow. But when it doesn't affect you, you're thinking, oh, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, Jesus forgave him. Man, that was good. It was good because, you know, it does represent us if we called on the name of the Lord. But, boy, it sure puts a different picture on it when you find out that this guy, all the crimes he ever committed, he committed them against you. Now you're thinking, well, I don't know. See the difference? It's always easy to look on from the other side. But forgiveness is still the thing. I got some questions here I want to ask you. This forgiveness test, I'm almost done. And this is like the test. You say, well, you know, I don't have unforgiveness. Let me ask you a few questions there. Be honest. You don't have to, you know, you're not going to answer them out loud, obviously. Let me ask you this question. Every time I think of blank, fill that in for yourself, I still feel angry. Every time I think of this person, I still feel angry. You got a forgiveness problem. You got unforgiveness in your heart. I have a subtle, secret desire to see that person pay. Yeah, Brian, we and you were talking about this the other night. I told you I had something for you. He can't forgive me. No, it's nothing to do with me. Deep in my heart, I really wouldn't mind if something bad happened to that person. I sometimes find myself telling others how they hurt me. If that person's name comes up, I am more likely to say something negative about them. I cannot ask God to bless them. These are all signs of unforgiveness in your heart. Let me ask you this. When you get to heaven, do you think you will hold ill feelings towards anybody? Aren't we? We're supposed to be heading this direction, right? Aren't we supposed to be more like Christ and getting, you know, I know there's going to be some changes that takes place there, but I think there's supposed to be some changes that take place on the way, if that's what the Bible teaches right there. Are you living according to justice or forgiveness? Are you living according to justice or forgiveness? Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. Lord, help us deal with our pride. Help us when people offend us. Be quick to forgive and not put a limit on it, not put a number on it. Lord, we know we get hurt. Lord, help us to
to overcome it. We know you're greater than our hurts, even. Lord, that you can put your spirit in our hearts in a greater way. We ask for that. And Lord, so just you know our needs, Lord. We want to thank you. Always keep foremost in our mind how much you've forgiven us. How much you've forgiven us, a debt we never could pay. Help us to be the same way, forgiving in the same way. Lord, let's put that before you. Help us to express our forgiveness. We struggle in that area as well. So have your will and way with us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.